We were standing in the hall. Her child had just been struck by a rare and often fatal illness. Your little boy might not make it. And she grabbed me by the lapel and pushed her face close and said, "All right, I want you to tell me, why did this happen to my little boy? What have I done to deserve this?" And I was silent. Now, I don't know what you think of the rare phenomenon of a speechless preacher. You may think if I was really a good preacher, I would have had something to say to this question. There are preachers who do. But at least give me credit. I may not be the most comforting priest, but I wasn't as tough on her as Jesus. I ask you, who can explain Jesus in today's gospel? They come to Jesus with two cases. How about those Galileans whom Pilate put to the sword at the temple, their throats slit before the very altar of God? Why did they deserve such a fate? And so Jesus, caring, sensitive that he is, says, "I'll tell you, unless you repent, you will likewise perish." In their example, they've covered the waterfront of tragedies. They speak to Jesus of these Galileans. They speak to Jesus of Jerusalemites who are killed when a building collapses. The Galileans killed by the government, among the millions of victims of cruel and oppressive tyrants. Those in Jerusalem were killed by a natural disaster, among the millions who have perished in earthquakes, wind, and fire. And that just covers about all the tragedy there is, doesn't it? Human initiated and naturally caused. And why does this happen to me, we ask? I think back to what was sort of a landmark for our age, Rabbi Harold Kushner's best-selling book, When Bad Things Happen to Good People. Thousands of perish by famine in Africa. People are crushed in an earthquake. Others die in a mass shooting. How can God be good and still allow things like these to inflict good people like us? O Lord, why hast thou forsaken me when I saw the prospect of the wicked? As interesting as we may find such questions, let us note that Jesus could care less. First, Jesus lumps all violence and suffering together, whether it be natural calamity or human perversity makes no difference to him. Evil is evil, pain is pain. Worse, Jesus refuses to answer the question. The exam questions were, why did those poor Galileans get slaughtered by Pilate? And why were those in Jerusalem in the wrong place at the wrong time when the tower fell? And to those perfectly good philosophical questions, Jesus responds, do you think that these were worse sinners than all the others because they suffered thus? No, I tell you to repent, or you will all likewise perish. Now, of course, Jesus, unsophisticated Jew that he was, not skilled in the arts of sophistry, when asked on another occasion about why evil exists, he responds, well, God makes his sun to shine on the good and the bad, his rain to fall on the just and the unjust, and that's all. The good and the bad both get sun and rain, and that's all. Elsewhere, the disciples ask, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Surely there must be some reason, some direct correlation between sin and misfortune, between bad people and bad luck. Blessed is the one who walks not in the way of sinners. Everything he does will prosper. No, Jesus denies a correlation, and yet the idea persists. There's a direct relationship between the sort of person I am and the bad or good things that come my way in life. I'm suffering. What did I do to deserve that? Have any of you read Thornton Wilder's novel, The Bridge of San Luis Rey? That story tells of a little village in South America. Each day the villagers make their way across a bridge to go into the fields. One day, without warning, the bridge snaps. 6 people fall to their death. There was a priest in the village who said, "Aha, I will do research into these people's lives and show why these six were on the bridge when it fell. I will then prove beyond a doubt, if you do bad things, bad will happen to you, and if you do good things, good will be done unto you." And the priest studied every aspect of their lives, and he came to a conclusion. Those six people were no worse, no better than anyone else in the village. God does allow the sun and the rain to fall upon the good and the bad. All right, I can take it. I can see the fallacy of our neat little distinctions between deserving and undeserving when they are blurred by God's sunshine and rain. Jesus doesn't give an answer when questioned about those Galileans and Jerusalemites, because there isn't one. When a pilot swings a sword, the closest person gets cut. When the earth heaves and a tower falls, anyone underneath, good or bad, perishes. Rabbi Kushner calls it luck. There is good luck and bad luck, neither of which are dependent upon a person's goodness or badness. You weren't born yesterday. You know there's a kind of randomness to life. Unfortunately, such philosophizing has nothing to do with what Jesus says. When presented with two excellent examples of life's unfairness, his reply is not that of Rabbi Kushner, "Well, these bad things happen mostly as a matter of luck. You've got to learn to live with them," which is what I might have said. Rather, Jesus says, "Do you think that they were worse offenders than you? I tell you no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." I arrive breathless at the hospital, running down the hall. I come to the last knot of family members, leaning on one another, eyes filled with terror and tears. Yes, she's still breathing, but the accident has badly damaged much of her body. Was she driving too fast? Did she have her mind on something else? Was she wearing a seatbelt? And I, as Jesus' field representative, say, "No. Do you think she's a worse offender than you? I tell you, unless you repent, you will likewise perish." People, take note. Jesus knows that our questions deter us from the question. The question. The question is not about unfairness. How can bad things happen to good people like us? The question Jesus asks is not about justice. What do I deserve? The question is the cruciform. How do we stand before God? "When Bad Things Happen to Good People" was a bestseller. It was not only because it was written well, but because it flatters a narcissistic, self-pitying age. The truth is, privileged middle-class people can't bear much suffering. For us, any suffering is patently unfair and undeserved. Any confusion, unknowing tragedy, because so long ago we stopped trusting a God whose presence makes suffering, confusion, and unknowing tragedies bearable. They ask Jesus about life's fairness, but he won't answer. Instead, he forces them to look at their own relationships with God. Of course, we don't want God. We want answers. And God's answers had better not be too confusing nor frightening, or we'll look for answers elsewhere. We can find a God who demands a lot less than repentance out of us. Why did this happen to me? Probably for no good reason. Bad things happen to the good and the bad all the time. The notion that only good things happen to good people was put to rest when they hung Jesus on a cross. Now this same Jesus takes our question, "Why do bad things happen to little old me?" and makes it cruciform. Can you trust God in joy or in pain to be your God? Can you love God without linking your love to the cards life deals you? God's love carries no promises about good or bad, save the promise that God will not allow anything worse to happen to us than happened to his own son. I think of the child psychologist Robert Coles, who once remembered his professor, the great historian Perry Miller. Miller once reflected, saying, "I was one of the first to arrive at the concentration camps, To the last day on earth, I will remember that scene. I looked up at the sky. I saw a beautiful sunny day. God seemed nowhere in evidence. A soldier next to me must have been having the same thoughts. He said to me, "I can't believe any God would tolerate this." I nodded. And then I thought of the crucifixion. I was going to remind myself, that Jesus had gone through a terrible death too, but somehow I couldn't say a word. It seemed obscene to compare anything, even the holy moment of Christianity, to this nightmare, this hell we stumbled into. Then another soldier, I'll never forget him, got down on his knees and started praying. He said his rosary with the beads in hand. His gesture broke the ice for all of us. Others got down and prayed with him. Some of us, me included, stood with our heads bowed. So this Sunday we come to the Lord's table, and you are given not answers, but bread and wine, which are for us nothing less than the broken body and spilled blood of Christ. This is the way God responds to our questions, not with answers that flatter us or make the world more simple than it really is, but with his life given for us, that we might more fully give our lives to him. Amen.